Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. 163. Yay. I'm so excited to have these guys here. And today we're chatting about my all-time favorite thing, constipation. I feel like I've really ramped up the poo chat lately on Instagram for some reason. Sorry, I'm just moving my mic around. Just gone a bit OCD crazy with it. I just feel like it's not talked about enough. I guess between females, we now are more open with talking about bowel movements. Like, say you have a girls' weekend away and you're kind of like, shit, who's actually pooing because everyone gets constipated because you're drinking out or you're eating lots of different foods or cheese or crackers or things, you know, stuff that doesn't keep your bowels moving. So women are better talking about bloating is a big one. Like, bloating, definitely, I feel like we talk about loose stools, constipation, floating stools, sticky stools, incomplete bowel movements. So this is a fun one. Most women actually who struggle with gut issues can often still have a bowel movement and they're like, oh, I'm constipated, but, or like, I kind of feel constipated, but I don't know if it's true constipation, because what is going on is that they sometimes are just sitting there straining, so they can't actually have a poo. They feel like they need to, and then it's just not coming out, which is super frustrating and uncomfortable, because you can just feel that heaviness and you're like, man, I feel like my body wants to go and it's simply not going. There's that. There's the irregular stuff, like now it's firm, now it's loose, now it's waited 2 days, now I'm having a couple in a day, like you're all over the place. And then there's like, you'll have a poo, but it just doesn't feel like a good poo, like it's incomplete in a sense. And that's a big one that I hear a lot on my gut health chat. So before you can jump into my root cause program, you do need to have a chat with myself or my team just to make sure that you are a good fit for the program. And this is one of the key things that comes out in those chats is women are like, hey, I am going to the toilet, but I'm feeling like my bowel movement isn't complete. So we want to unpack that a little bit today and go, well, why are you not having proper bowel movements? Like, it's one thing to just not have a poo for 3 or 4 or 5 days. So that might be because you're traveling or you're camping or you haven't eaten enough fiber or you're staying at someone's house and you don't want to poo there, or you're at your new boyfriend's place and you don't want to poo at his place. I remember me and my friend chatting about that once when she was staying over at her boyfriend's place. She's like, oh no, I never poo at his house. And I'm like, wow, that means you could go days without pooing. And then some people don't want to poo at work, and you know, like, you're, because your nervous system and your emotions are so strongly tied to your pooing. So say you get really nervous, women will often have loose stools or more stools, or if it then stops them from pooing, like if they're under a lot of stress and they're racing around all the time, their body just doesn't feel safe, right? Because it's got to be relaxed and safe to be able to do a great poo on top of everything else, fiber, bacteria, water, movement, all those sort of basic things. So there is that whole nervous system link into it as well, which I find really interesting. But what we want to unpack today is, how do you feed your good gut flora? And how is that going to stop you from being constipated? Because what I do see predominantly in my program is that women are coming in, they're doing the GI 360, and we actually can't reintroduce bacteria. So I chatted about this on Reels the other day, but the prebiotics that are good for your gut, we can't introduce them at the start. Your fermented foods, like your kimchi, your kefir, your sauerkraut, your kombucha, we can't throw them in at the start. You can't come into the root cause program and be like, cool, Sheridan, let's jump into the gut work and eat all the healthy gut microbiome things, because they're not going to be beneficial for you guys. If you've got quote unquote IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome, if you've got constipation, if you've got loose stools, if you have all this stuff, then adding in more bacteria is only going to make the issue worse. But also adding in a heap of prebiotics, so oligosaccharides, so names like FOS, GOS, FOS inulin, FOS fructans, FOS gosgalactans, lactulose, these things, which I'll break down in a minute. So basically your high FODMAP foods. If you've been following a low FODMAP diet, you'll know what I mean. But those fiber-rich foods are what are going to feed the gut microbiome, and you can't introduce them straight away. This is why we work together for 6 months, so that you can actually adjust your gut microbiome, remove those parasites, nasty bacteria, inflammatory bacteria, fermenting bacteria, yeast, all that stuff. Then we get to have the fun and start adding all the gut healing, nourishing prebiotic rich foods in. So let's chat about this. Let's chat about constipation, the gut microbiome. So imbalances in the good gut bugs can contribute to your IBS symptoms. So your constipation, your diarrhea, your bloating, your gas. So this is predominantly a gut issue. Now, when we have a good balance of flora in the gut, so beneficial flora, and then we have enough of what are called short-chain fatty acids being produced, which actually seal up that gut lining and stop you from having leaky gut. So your good flora, these beneficial bacteria, what they do is they produce butyrate. So it's spelled B-U-T-Y-R-A-T-E. So butyrate is how I say it. You would look at it and go, butyrate? It looks funny when you look at it, but it's a short chain fatty acid, so it has a host of health benefits, and this works primarily in the gut. But when you have enough of these short chain fatty acids, so all of you who have done a GI 360 or a GI map, if you go down towards the end of the testing and you see an area called short chain fatty acids, and you'll see butyrate, which is, like I said, it's a short chain fatty acid produced by these beneficial bacteria. One of these beneficial bacteria, something like Fecalbacterium prenanzi, which is a really, really important one, which feeds on a lot of your high FODMAP foods. This one is a main butyrate producer. Producer is the word I'm looking for. So it will produce a lot of those beneficial short-chain fatty acids, which not only dampen inflammation in the GI tract, but we see broad effects on the whole body from this beneficial bacteria. So things that butyrate will do in the body, so reduce leaky gut, it stops those cells separating, stops that inflammation, which will prevent you from getting autoimmune conditions because things aren't going into bloodstream and triggering an immune response. It will decrease sensitivity and gut pain. Do you know how many women come to me with gut pain? So they're getting the bloating, but they've got this hypersensitivity in the gut. So it can be from foods. It can be from that inflammation. It can be something you have at night. I used to have it every single night for years. I would wake up sort of with a flat stomach, be okay in the morning. I'd get more and more bloated as the day went on. My stomach would get more and more painful. I would get constipated towards the end of the day. Like I might have a bowel movement in the morning, but towards the end of the day, it was terrible. I couldn't go. And then I would also have such high pain, high levels of pain is probably the way I should be phrasing that. It was so bad that I couldn't sleep without having to sleep on my stomach because the pressure against it would help me go to sleep for some reason. It's like wearing fitted pants. I used to love wearing like fitted leggings and stuff over it because I liked that feeling, and not like jeans pressure where it digs in, but just like this nice, I don't know, it's almost like this nice pressure against it, like this soft, gentle pressure to try and keep it down a bit. But that hypersensitivity and that pain is really debilitating and stops you from working, from exercise, from getting out and doing the things you love. So enough butyrate will reduce that. It will decrease your urgency and loose stools, so you won't have that same, like say you eat a high fat meal and you don't break down fats well, or you have garlic and onion and you've got SIBO, so you're reacting to these fermentable fibers and you're like, I need to run to the toilet. Like, this is severe. I need to go now. Where is the nearest toilet? It will decrease that. It will also decrease if you get loose stools. So some people don't have the urgency, but they're not having nice formed bowel movement. And there is a really good feeling with having a proper poo. And you would notice this if you've always had loose stools and then you start having formed bowel movements, you're like, oh, that felt really good and normal and right. And yeah, it makes a really, really big difference. Decreases constipation, enhances regularity. So you will start having those more regular bowel movements. And my goal, what I love to see in the women as their bowels get better and better throughout the 6 months, is for them to be having 1 to 3 bowel movements per day of formed stools. Okay. So one is okay if you're eating more fiber, like myself. I have a high caloric load because I'm exercising a lot, eating a lot more fiber. I usually have 2 to 3 bowel movements a day because that food simply is just passing through me at a healthy rate, and that's kind of what happens. If I travel and I eat less, or on the weekends, if I'm really busy and I'm out doing stuff and I'm simply not eating my carrots and things, I will have less bowel movements purely because there's not as much fiber of food to move through. So that is part of the benefits of bioruterate. It also, like I said earlier, decreases inflammation, but that is systemic. That is body-wide. That is not just limited to the gut, okay? So we love that fecal Bactrim pronansi. It is so important. It is one of the most abundant bacteria in the GI tract, and it is your main bioruterate producer. So we do want to see good levels of those short chain fatty acids. So how do we feed this bacteria, right? So we want to eat enough high fiber foods and prebiotic fibers to support that microbiome. Remember, these foods I'm going to talk through are not appropriate if you haven't done stool testing and you don't know the root cause of your IBS. Because if you have SIBO or bacterial overgrowth or pathogens in there, these foods are going to make your symptoms so much worse. Okay. So once you know what's going on with your gut, then definitely add in these prebiotic rich foods, which are going to help grow out that microbiome. So we love FOS, fructans, so things like Jerusalem artichokes, yacon tubers, burdock root, chicory root, and dandelion greens. Now these six, and globe artichoke as well, these ones are a little bit harder to get your hands on. So often they're taken in powder form, or you can get like chicory root tea. You can sometimes get them at like Asian grocers and other places, but they're not classically stocked in our supermarket. Whereas things like your garlic, onion, leek, and asparagus, which are really rich in prebiotic fibers, are easy to get your hands on, are easy to incorporate into your diet. Other ones are your GOS, so your galactins. So your prebiotic rich foods includes legumes, brassica, family vegetables like your broccoli, your kale, green beans, beetroot, sunflower seeds, and pumpkin seeds. So pretty easy to introduce into the diet. When you're taking it at a fiber form, we are still go really slowly with it, just because I do find a lot of people react to the legumes and the brassicas. So I usually like to do 1 or 2 months of the fiber, introduce that slowly, and then add a larger amount of the whole food in, just because it's not practical. And I really try to keep my program practical. And it's not practical for someone to buy a whole broccoli and then have like a tablespoon of broccoli, right? So that's just annoying. And how do you cook that? And whereas if you're just having like a quarter of a teaspoon of a fiber, of a powder, and then you're slowly increasing that to half and then 1 teaspoon, that's pretty easy. We can back it off really easily. It's not going to go off or moldy or whatever. You don't need to cook it. And then a couple weeks into that, you can add the broccoli in at a normal size, like a quarter of a cup in a meal or something. So that's a lot easier way of doing it. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds are tolerated really well though, classically. And beetroot can be hit and miss depending on the person. One of the last prebiotic fibers that I kind of add in, because you need to do it really slowly, is FOS or inulin. So you want 3 to 6 grams a day of this fiber, because that is the amount you need to boost populations. But you really need to add it slowly, because it will cause bloating and gas if you add it in too quickly. So I usually start with the inulin FOS powder and move my way up very, very slowly. But this is like at the back end of that 5-6 month range to start to really boost those populations. And some people really just like to use food and go nuts on the garlic, the onions, the legumes, the brassicas, those kinds of things. But something like inulin is one that you will grab through a supplement as opposed to a fiber. The other one that's often given by GPs, well, I got given this in my early gut days, was lactulose. So this prebiotic, which you get in a syrup, and I use it for my clients with vaginal infections to boost that vaginal microbiome, it can aggravate SIBO conditions. So this is why you want to test first and know what's going on with your gut, because I do see a lot of GPs giving this one or telling people to get this one, but it can be really aggravating in those gut conditions. So I do ask people to just be careful and go slowly with it. It's fine if you're inserting it into the vaginal microbiome to feed that lactobacillus bacteria, then obviously you're not going to get those same gut reactions from it. And then your GOS, 3 grams a day of this prebiotic fiber is the beneficial numbers. Again, you've got to go really slowly with this one, because otherwise you will get that bloating or bowel movement changes. And a lot of these products are dairy derived as well. So just being mindful of what your tolerance to dairy is. So like I said, adding in these powders and these prebiotic foods is typically best once you have addressed your gut infection. So if you've got H. pylori, or you've got parasites, you've got candida, you've got yeast, treat that stuff first rather than trying to do these powders at the same time, because you're generally not going to be able to tolerate them. But also, it does mean that, one, you might have quite a high supplement load, but also you don't know if you're getting die-off effects or if you're just not tolerating the prebiotic powder that well. So when we step it out, the whole process goes a lot smoother. So if you're not tolerating these, you either have a gut infection, or you've just got really, really low levels of gut microbiome flora and you just need to add them in super slowly. So I hope that was helpful. It gives you an idea of sort of the direction you can be going once you understand what's going on with your gut and some of the benefits of the bacteria. And this is why I focus so heavily on rebuild and repair, because I see so many clients who've worked with another practitioner who was amazing, and then that ended up with reoccurring symptoms because they didn't do enough rebuild and repair work moving forward. And it is a really, really important part of your gut healing journey. So I do want you to focus on it and really focus on reintroducing those prebiotic fibers and those probiotics, but only once you've sort of done that initial gut healing work. If you want to know more, if you want some help in overcoming your bloating, fatigue, your painful periods, you can check out the links linked into this podcast episode. So I've got my IBS crash course. So basically, I'll show you how to have regular bowel movements, stop bloating, and have more food choices with my nutritional strategies for IBS. You can jump in my free Facebook group, Gut Health Solutions, or you can book a free gut health planning session with me and my team, where we just jump on Zoom and brainstorm how to overcome your bloating, fatigue, and heal your hormones. That's all from me. Please reach out on the gram and let me know you've been listening. I love hearing from you, and let me know how you go adding in those fibers. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.